Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Happy Tuesday, Pastor Kevin.
Same to you, Pastor Ryan. Good to be together again.
Yes.
Welcome to all our listeners out there.
Yes, welcome in the midst of our world the way it is.
The chaos of the globe. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be getting any better lately.
But I have been challenged lately to live hopeful.
Oh, yeah.
And to speak hope-filled words. Hmm. And it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I still find myself, I had to talk to Patricia and just say, this is what I'm trying. Hold me accountable. I'm trying to speak hope instead of just
mumble, grumble,
mess. But God is at work.
Yeah, he is.
And we continue to see that. I mean, we're seeing people baptized, wanting to get baptized, embracing Christ.
Yep. Very cool.
Very cool. So this weekend was neat. We had our international workers from North Africa join us.
Yes.
And he preached on Sunday.
Yeah.
Really neat message.
Yeah. Very curious making it.
Yes.
Yeah. About disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat because it really coupled well with our weekend of conference with the Alliance District here in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that subject included the idea of disciple making and actually broadening our vision of what a disciple is. And this message
fit right in there.
Hand in glove.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he spoke to us from Matthew or where did
Acts.
These big Acts? No. Yeah, it was Acts 19.
Acts 19.
Yeah. Acts 19. Exactly. So he spoke to us from Acts 19 and he talks about Paul coming along the interior, arriving at Ephesus where he found some disciples.
Found a crew of disciples.
Now, I would love to know the details of how that all took place.
There's no social media, no internet, no phones.
Nothing. Nope.
And this was an epicenter. Like this was a metropolis of the day.
Yeah. It was big city for that time.
Right.
And where do you go? And it just clearly, you know, one of the things that he really didn't develop, but I was in my brain listening and kind of putting together some dots. And one of them was how the steps of the saints are ordered.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord knows where you need to be and when you need to be there.
That's right.
And he does things that, you know, we're going to be shocked one day when we get to heaven, I think, when we look back and we get to see with the Master how he orchestrated different things that come to pass.
Absolutely.
Most of the time, I think we just don't even recognize them.
No.
We're just going about our business, doing our day. But the Lord is busy orchestrating, weaving into this master, you know, as a master craftsman, weaving all these pictures, these good works that God has established before, you know, hand, before we even believe kind of idea, so that people get a chance to hear the gospel or to grow or whatever, like whatever that might mean at that moment.
Yeah.
And I think that was really something that really clearly jumps off the page at me, that he's walking through this massive city, busy port city, thousands upon thousands of people, and he stumbles, quote unquote, across some disciples, and he starts having this conversation.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Paul had a pattern, right? He would go into a city, find the public square, start talking, or he would go into a city, find the synagogue, and there he would start having his ministry. But it even seems before he got to the synagogue that he found these disciples of Apollos, because Apollos had come before and they had been listening to Apollos. And but Luke, because he's the author of the book of Acts, clearly calls these people disciples. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
It is the exact word, the same as the 12 disciples.
Right, yeah.
Or the 70 disciples, or the 120 disciples.
Right.
These are the same disciples.
Yes.
Same word.
Yeah.
But as you go further, you begin to realize that they're not what most people in our culture think of as disciples.
No. It was interesting because it challenges you to look on things as a continuum, as this process, this journey. And, you know, as you even look back and jump back a little bit further of Apollos's journey, and it's kind of echoes these disciples.
Yeah.
Apollos, it says back in verse 24 of chapter 18 that he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. Man, I wish that is said about me. That's right. My hope.
Competent in the scriptures.
Well, maybe elegant, but eloquent.
He was, this my translation, yeah. NIV says he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures.
Yeah, I like that.
And he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. So he was like a really good orator.
Yeah. And he spoke the things concerning Jesus, though he'd only knew the baptism of John.
Yeah.
I think what that shows is there's only this partial understanding of the gospel message.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the full and complete message of Jesus. It's almost like he got a glimpse. Mm-hmm. John saying, there's one coming after me, and maybe even this Jesus. But what does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he stopped short at the baptism of John.
Yep.
And we see that reflected in these disciples.
Yeah. What he knew about Jesus was accurate.
Right.
Just limited.
Limited.
So it wasn't the full picture.
No.
But he was still a disciple. And he was still listened to. He was still honored as part of the gospel spreading team. Mm-hmm. A Jewish man. Right. You wonder I would love to know more about him, right? You know, because you get these characters suddenly plopped on the page of scripture.
And we learn he had a huge impact on the early church. He's mentioned numerous times. Yeah,
that's right.
Has a huge, huge impact. And he's taken aside, discipled by Priscilla and Aquila. They take him aside, explain to him fully the message of Jesus.
Yeah.
But obviously that didn't make it back to these 12 others had first talked to.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul shows up on the scene.
Yeah.
And Luke calls them disciples.
Yep.
So what does that say about the definition of a disciple?
Mm-hmm. What do you think of when you hear that word? Like up until this time, what has been your common understanding of the word disciple?
Oh, like I've always heard the challenge, and I'm sure used it as, you know, have you just accepted Jesus as your savior, or are you a disciple of him? Like disciple is that next level.
Yeah.
It's that you've accepted Jesus as your savior and Lord. And then the next step for more mature believers is to become a disciple and to be discipled and learn and grow in your faith.
Right. But is that biblical?
You know, exactly. Because we come to this story.
Yeah.
These people, would you say that they were saved?
I don't know. Not because me.
They didn't fully know the gospel.
No.
They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't received the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yet they were called disciples.
Right. So they got baptized into Jesus' name, not John's. And then he put his hands on them and prayed that they receive the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Very curious making. I know you have to be careful in the book of Acts because the book of Acts is kind of a written on the go.
Right.
Right. So things are happening not necessarily sequentially and not necessarily the way they would normally be taught. So the book of Acts is, you have to be careful how you emphasize it in your theology.
Right. Especially understanding, is it descriptive or prescriptive?
Right.
And that's something that you've got to wrestle with a lot of Acts. Is this just describing what happened or is this prescribing the way that it should be happening?
And there's plenty of scriptures that are like that.
Definitely.
You know, is this descriptive or prescriptive? Are we supposed to be doing this?
Right.
Or are we just needing to be informed about this?
Yeah.
And so the volume of knowledge grows and it influences our actual practice.
Right.
So now we're thinking, all right, this is what they said. This is the word he used, disciple, and they hadn't been baptized into Jesus' name, which I would consider to be like what we would call getting saved.
Right.
Now, again, that to me, I know the Bible talks about salvation. I know it talks about being saved, but I don't recall it ever saying getting saved or, you know, have you gotten saved?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just foreign language to the scripture. But lots of times it talks about, have you believed?
Mm-hmm.
And really even the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So
right.
The believing is key. It's crucial.
Right.
So if I understand this correctly, and if I compare these disciples to, say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the, right, the ones that people know, Peter,
yeah,
they were disciples, but they didn't have salvation.
No,
they didn't have that.
They had the partial story as they were the
partial story
walking with Jesus, yeah, as they were being discipled by Jesus.
Yeah. So part of it gives you pause, mm-hmm, to think broadly with that term,
right,
rather than narrowly someone who has believed first.
Right.
And then they become disciples. Mm-hmm. You get the impression that even when Jesus was saying to his disciples, go into all the world and make converts.
No,
he didn't say that. Or get people saved.
Right.
No, he didn't say that either. He said, make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as though he's saying the onus is on me, mm-hmm, the Lord was saying, the, right, onus is on me to carry the disciple once they have been made.
Right.
So once I introduce someone to Jesus, okay, right, now they're on their journey. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, okay, away you go. Mm-hmm. And hopefully along the way, you trust that the, right, Holy Spirit's going to do his job.
Yeah.
And someone with fuller knowledge will come along, like, mm-hmm, Paul.
Right.
To fill in the gaps and get you into a relationship with Jesus that is proper, that is in its proper place.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're not a disciple before then.
That's right. And I love this because I think in all of our lives, you know, as followers of Jesus, we think, you know, we always hear, you know, we should be disciple-making disciples.
Yes.
And we think, oh man, who am I discipling?
Right.
And this is kind of where the conversation came up during, yep, the district conference.
Yes, this is really
our Rekindle team at the, yep, conference. Mm-hmm. They were talking about this, and one in particular was thinking, man, like, I think about discipling and what does that look like? And am I discipling somebody or have I been discipled? And then others piped in and said, well, if you think about this as there's different stages in that discipleship process. And I think this shows us,
mm-hmm,
is that even as on Sunday it was put, a half turn in the direction of Jesus, mm-hmm, is the start of that discipleship journey.
Yep, yep.
And so even if we've been that initial, you know, used with that initial momentum to start turning somebody's foot towards Jesus, we've been a part of discipling them.
Yep. And we're making disciples.
Exactly. And so it isn't some, you know, you don't have to be some Bible scholar who can go, you know, deep into theology with somebody to be able to disciple them.
Yeah.
It's walking with somebody on the path that they're on towards Jesus.
Yeah.
Wherever you come into contact with them at.
Yeah. That really lightens that burden, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it's so much like what happens in the story.
Yeah.
He just is at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And he's doing what he normally does.
Right.
And then he finds 12 disciples.
Right.
Well, it turns out later we find out there's 12.
Yeah.
Right. In this passage, just said he found some disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are kind of caught off guard by the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
And what it does is if you just turn the mirror of scripture, and this part I think is more than just it's more than just describing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually prescriptive. It's now, okay, I look inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
Who is already in my circle that God has brought across my path?
Right, exactly.
That all I am supposed to do is direct them, is to, yeah, turn their face,
mm-hmm,
turn their heart, turn their ideas,
right,
towards Jesus,
exactly,
and let God do the rest.
Right. He brought them along our path because he's given us what they need.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we don't need to give people what we haven't been given.
Yeah.
You know, I think so many times that's what we think is, oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this knowledge. I don't have this maturity. And so I can't. No. God, yeah, knows what you have because he's given it to you.
That's right.
And he's brought people along the path that need what you have.
Yeah.
And so be excited to, yeah, freely you've received, now freely give.
Mm-hmm.
Not freely one day, maybe hopefully you'll receive what you think you need, but no, freely you've received. God has given you gifts,
yes,
and wisdom, yep, and knowledge in the gospel as his child.
Yeah.
And he's bringing people along your path.
Totally. Agreed. That is such a crucial, like even in my own life, that has been a powerful passage.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times in my life, I've had to take stock, sit down and think, I have been so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given so much.
Yeah.
what am I supposed to do with it all?
Yeah.
What, all these experiences I've had, all the, even just the family I grew up in and mm-hmm. you know, all of that, even the family that I've grown in where there's been turmoil or there's been a situation that wasn't maybe something you'd want to have in a family. Mm-hmm. I have to look back on all that stuff and I have to say to myself, God has done this. He's orchestrated this so that I can minister today with what I have been given.
Right.
Not what I haven't been given. Well, exactly. I can't minister out of what I haven't been given, but what I have been given, what I have been shown.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes the burden off hugely.
Yeah.
I don't have to come up with something.
Right.
I don't have to pretend something. I don't have to memorize a whole bunch of scriptures. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Right.
I think memorizing scriptures is a great way
to
bring Christ into the conversation because mm-hmm. you know the Bible.
Right.
And you maybe don't even have to quote it. You don't have mm-hmm. to go chapter and verse and then quote a verse.
But you can say it says in the Bible that.
Yeah. Or even not even say it. Yeah. Just it's in the Bible. You it's part it. Of your yeah. conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns them towards God.
Yeah.
That to me is so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that now the journey ends because the story actually is about Paul carrying on the story of these disciples in Christ.
Absolutely.
So again, it doesn't say, you know, just do that and then walk away.
Right.
It includes the next steps as well because sometimes God will use you as he used Paul here.
Right.
To inform more than Apollos had given them information, mm-hmm. Paul goes deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm the one. Sometimes I'm the Paul. Sometimes I'm the Apollos.
Right.
And I come into the situation mm-hmm. at various levels, but I still am turning the conversation, turning the heart, the mind, the will towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Way you go.
Right.
And God orchestrates the rest.
Yes.
And he brings Paul at just the right time. Yeah. He finds these disciples. And he gives them what they needed.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it's amazing because he comes at that opportune time where mm-hmm. it's these 12.
Yeah.
It isn't, you know, you think about it. It isn't that, you know, then these 12 went out and there's, you know, 112. And now Paul's like, okay, who did you tell? Who did you tell? And trying to, you know, he caught them early.
Yeah.
At just the right time, mm-hmm. God brought Apollos along their path. And then God brought Paul along their path.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really beautiful story. And again, mm-hmm. I'm going to go from, you know, just being descriptive to prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole thing of the putting on of hands and praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We heard of one guy today, even, you know, coming into the church and being prayed over that he'd be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's not forced.
Right.
It's not like a big rah, rah, rally, you know, come on forward. And, you know, none of that. Just simple day to day, onward going.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be prayed for the filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And you pray and the person's filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I think this can even be something that, because Paul writing to churches says, I pray that you're filled with the Spirit. And I think it's something that sometimes we can kind of get, oh, well, that happens once.
Mm.
So once and done type thing.
Yeah.
But I think it can be a continual thing that as we come into different seasons of our life, we need a filling of mm-hmm. the Spirit for that season of our life.
Yeah.
We're coming, you know, we see Jesus when he's making major decisions, he goes alone with the Father, communing with the Father. And I think in those moments in our life, we need that.
Yeah.
And maybe even more so in those times of struggle. Maybe this season, especially as we're going through COVID and the different struggles that seem to be heightened because of COVID, our normal struggles are that much worse because of COVID. Yeah,
agreed.
We need the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you say, oh, been there, done that, ask him for more.
Yeah, more.
We're never going to be filled with all of God.
Right.
How do we say it?
I think I know what you're saying.
Like we're never going to experience the end of God.
Right. There's always more.
There's always more
to experience.
There's always, you know, he doesn't, it's not like he's like, I'm just going to give you Holy Spirit light or I'm just going to give you. He gives us all, in our humanity and our limited reality of who we are as a human. Mm-hmm. There's always more.
Yeah.
In a good and a positive way, not as God holding back, but as
we need more.
Mm-hmm. And there's always more to get.
Mm. Yeah, that would be Ephesians 5:18, mm-hmm. where it clearly tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek in the original language of that passage is that it is never ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing request.
Yeah.
And it's almost like breathing. You just need to keep breathing. And mm-hmm. You need to keep asking
right.
for the fullness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're to live out our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you just hold to those simple things, your life will be radically changed. It mm-hmm. will be radically yeah. upside down to what it was before.
Absolutely.
Because that's how the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah.
And in this passage, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There yeah. was a dramatic expression.
Right.
But that can happen whenever divinity touches flesh.
That's right.
Suddenly there's an explosion yeah. or a dynamis. It's
right.
It's an outward outbursting.
Yes.
And you have this beautiful tongue that's spoken or mm-hmm. a prophetic word.
Right.
And it's sort of one of those exciting moments. That doesn't happen to everybody.
No.
But it happens to mm-hmm. lots of people.
Yeah.
And it can happen at any time. It doesn't yeah. have to be scheduled.
Right.
At so-and-so at 7 p.m. at the altar.
Right.
You just go into the Father's presence and you yeah. ask for the filling of the Spirit and you never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Because that's how he is.
Yeah.
And if you're like a very cautious sort of contemplative person, a contemplative person, mm-hmm. you don't have to fear. Because yeah. I remember the very first time I started thinking this way, it meant a lot to me that God revealed himself in the Spirit as a dove.
Mm-hmm.
What could be less threatening than a dove?
Yeah.
Just a bird
right
there on the post,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's like not threatening at all, cooing, you know,
right.
like a dove does, yeah. mm-hmm. beautiful dove. And you just say, okay, if that's the case, then I don't have to fear this.
Yeah.
I can enter in boldly mm-hmm. and expect much
yeah.
because there's much offered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun.
It is. Yeah. You know, the times that I remember being prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened for me, and I can remember three instances in particular, I had this overwhelming peace to the point of tears.
Mm. Yeah.
And again, it wasn't based off of anything that was happening. It wasn't circumstances. It was just this overwhelming peace that brought me to the point of tears.
Mm.
And it's like, I knew the Holy Spirit was with me and he was in me, that he was filling me.
Yeah. I've had many times where I've prayed for the filling of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit just to go into a meeting.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
Or a difficult conversation
yeah.
that you have to have. You can't avoid. Right. If you avoid it, things will get worse.
Yeah.
I need the Spirit of God to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've just, I think I've told you this before, but I like yeah. to go home sometimes. And when I'm relaxing, I have my recorder on my DVR. To watch nature shows
mm-hmm.
because nature, there is something absolutely awe-inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from, you know, Psalm 19.
Right.
It's the revelation
that's right.
of God.
Yeah.
That's not from the Bible. It's from nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he is there and you just watch and you are enamored. You are lost. Even though the commentator's blah, blah, blahing right. about evolution, you're kind of like, whatever, buddy. You're just talking right. through your hat. You have no clue how this happened.
Right.
And you're giving it your best non-godly right. guess.
Guess, yeah.
Whereas I know what happened and I know who created this.
Right.
But it's just beautiful. And you're lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have those moments of absolute wonder.
Yeah.
And I've had experiences in the Holy Spirit that were like that too. Like mm-hmm. what you said, full yeah. of peace and wonder and excitement mm-hmm. and hope for the future. And I've also been filled with the Spirit and I got a hunger and a desire, an ache almost for more. Like mm-hmm. I remember praying and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me when I was, I don't know, maybe my 30s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it just sent me to my knees. It sent me to
mm-hmm.
a hunger that I can't explain. It's like an ache
yeah.
in your soul. That there's more to this than I'm getting and I want more. And that's yeah. the Spirit. That's the Spirit
yeah,
doing
absolutely.
The same thing. So many different ways the right. Spirit of God will move us.
Right.
Yeah.
He knows what we need.
Exactly.
And he needed,
is beautiful. He knows that those disciples
right.
needed to have that expression of tongues and prophecy.
Right.
And I think if you think of the grand story of the book of Acts,
yeah,
it was like the Pentecost came and that's what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues.
Right.
And then there was other moments like this one where the speaking in tongues happened. And it was almost like a sign from God that this was the real deal.
Right. Well, I mean, even you see Cornelius, when Peter goes to Cornelius, that, well, they were, you know, Cornelius and his household received the Spirit in the same way that Peter and the other disciples had.
That's how they compared
that idea of, okay, the Gentiles receive the same Spirit in the same way that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that, okay, this is real. Yeah. Gentiles have been brought in as well because right. they're receiving the Spirit
yeah.
the exact same way that we
same
have.
Way.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful for the early church right. to know that they were doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because that was their experience and they yeah. kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even today, the Holy Spirit is the constructor, the conductor.
Yeah.
He is the conductor of the orchestra and he knows exactly which gift to give when.
Right.
And so when I pray and I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, if I don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean that he hasn't met me.
Right.
It just means he met me differently
exactly. yeah.
than, say, what happened in this story.
Yeah.
And so you I think some people can get kind of caught up, like Dave mentioned on Sunday, sometimes right. it can be controversial.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's more our problem than it is anything to do with the scriptures or yeah. anything to do with the experience that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We can speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not.
And be filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's the beauty of it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I love it.
Mm. So on the journey of discipleship,
mm-hmm.
I think I've had a change of mind.
I think so too.
I think I've had a broadening of
yes.
my definition.
Yes.
And I think it's helpful.
Yes. What an encouragement.
Mm.
Well,
mm.
higher, wider, deeper. That's where we're going.
And yes.
I love the take that our international worker took on Sunday with this, looking yeah. at discipleship and
yeah.
the Holy Spirit taking us higher, wider, and deeper in discipleship. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
Next week, you're on as we mm-hmm. continue
yep.
navigating and almost experimenting with this idea of higher, wider, deeper, and saying, yeah. okay, God, what are you teaching us through this?
Yeah. And I'm going to borrow some of this
yeah.
that we talked about last Sunday, and I'm going to mm-hmm. broaden it a little more. And we're going to listen to a story, a video of a woman in our church who met Jesus
mm-hmm.
and it completely turned her world upside down very powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away from that and you think, all right, part of the reason for me reaching higher,
mm-hmm.
part of the reason for me going deeper
yeah.
is so that I can bring this message of hope to people who are hopeless.
Yeah.
Who have given up on all of their crutches and all of their coping mechanisms
right.
and all of their false religious experiences and false religion teaching that they've embraced over mm-hmm. their years. And it undoes all of that.
Yeah.
And it brings freedom that is uncomparable. You can't find anything compared to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to go into this Sunday. And then the following Sunday, we'll take a little bit, maybe a detour to deeper. What does that look like? And why that word can mean so much in the scripture? Moving deeper into the word of God and deeper into our experience of him and the necessity that it necessitates
yeah.
the filling of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go deep without him.
That's right.
He'll bring you.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.